Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And it's nice to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Plenty of action around the country, around Sydney, Leichhardt Oval, a couple of test matches on later in the evening. Of course, at Mount Smart Stadium as well, Tonga taking on New Zealand as the first cab off the rank. And yet tomorrow it is New South Wales, Queensland, State of Origin 2. We're going to catch up with Reedy in a moment. Emma Lawrence is there. We'll also talk with her. Right now, though, Aaron Woods has joined us. Go, Woodsy. Again.
Hello,
lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. What has happened? You like your cricket, don't you?
Love it, mate. It's the best.
England last night, Sri Lanka got over the top of England. I think they rolled them for about 212, chasing 220-odd. Brilliant.
Oh, it's the best. It's unreal. It's all we need is Queensland lose tomorrow night. It's a great weekend.
Exactly. Ash Barty, as you may have heard in the news, has got through. She beat Venus Williams, a couple of wins away from claiming the number one spot in the world. This is a woman who's playing for the Brisbane Heat in the women's Big Bash cricket just, 12, 18 months ago.
What, will she be the first number one we've had since Goolagong?
Yeah.
Back in the
70s?
70s?
Yeah. The 70s or 80s, I think probably the late 70s.
Yeah, okay.
Amazing work from Ash Barty. Right now, though, it is time for this.
Reedy's Mail.
Yes, it is. Brent Reed joins us from beautiful Perth. How are you, Reedy?
Hello, boys. It is beautiful, too. There's a bit of blue sky about. They predicted some showers, but they haven't quite arrived yet, so hopefully it stays this way.
Well, I thought it was going to be like hail, pestilence tomorrow evening for State of Origin. It's not that...
Well, that's the tip. That's the tip, Tone. But, you know, at the moment there's a bit of blue sky, so it's time to enjoy it. It's a nice city, Perth.
Reedy, mate, I'm actually surprised you're up this hour of the day, to be honest with you. I'll follow you on social media.
Uh-oh.
And it looks like you've just gone over there for a dead set holiday, mate. You and Ricky just look like you've had a time of your life. Have you done any work?
He's been leading me astray, Nicka Lucy.
It's all you, mate. I've been in camps with you before.
Mate, I'll tell you who's been at it. Emma Lawrence, unbelievable.
Really?
And when you get her on later, make sure you ask her. Nocturnal behaviour leaves a lot to be desired.
Wow. Got any insight? Any kind of venue she's been at? What we throw at her?
I don't think there's a venue she hasn't been at,
Tony.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear from Emma. She's having a go. At least she embraces it. But, Reedy, what was the allowance that the wife gave you for this camp? Because I know the ones previous she hasn't given you too much.
$50 a week, would
you? Stop it.
It's all I get. I've got a secret stash that she doesn't know about.
Hey, Reedy,
I'll tell you what we are missing over here, would you? We're missing you for the PlayStation. We haven't got the P3 out once.
You probably broke it last time we flogged you.
I think it's a P4 now, Reedy. But anyway.
I need someone to beat.
Hey, Reedy, tell us what those Queenslanders are up to at the moment, would you? I mean, what's happening? They're saying that Kalyn Ponga has got an injury, is left training on crutches.
An ambulance.
Can you tell us what's happened?
I think he's good as gold, Kalyn Ponga. I've seen him a bit about this week, and he hasn't looked too worried for me. Look, Kalyn probably only needs one good leg to beat New South Wales, let's be honest.
Wow.
So there's no truth to the rumour that he's got an injured calf?
Well, I don't think it's bad enough to rule him out of the game, not for what they're saying. I mean, obviously, there's always some ducks and drakes around this sort of stuff, but there's been no suggestion he won't play. And obviously, Dylan Knapp is the other one with that hand. They've had a bit of trouble with the strapping on that hand, as I understand it, and giving him the flexibility to be able to hold on to the ball. But I'm sure they'll work that out come game time. You know, there's a few ducks and drakes around New South Wales, too, in the starting side. I mean, obviously, the story's gone around that Darryl Finucane will probably start, and Jakey Tavoyevich will go in the front row, and Paul Vaughan will drop back to the bench. And I asked Paul Vaughan about that yesterday, and he was pretty coy about it. He wouldn't give too much away. So that's one that's grown a bit of legs this week as well, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens on tomorrow night.
Did Paul Vaughan know more about it when you asked him than Angus Crichton did when you spoke to him after the game?
Yeah, it didn't quite catch him as much off guard. The reaction was a bit more pleasant, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I bet. What's the reaction been in Perth? You know, they obviously had that footy team, had the Western Reds. They lost their union team in the Force. What's the vibe in the build-up to this game?
I've got to say, it's amazing. I mean, you walk down, I went for a walk this morning, and the amount of people over here with jerseys on, obviously there's a lot of people who come into the game, but a lot of Queensland jerseys, actually, not a lot of New South Wales ones, a lot of Queensland jerseys, but, you know, the people have really embraced it here. And the minister yesterday, we got him yesterday talking about bidding for maybe the 2021 grand final and trying to get that here. And, you know, he spoke about wanting to have a team in Perth and that, you know, if it does happen, the NRL is back it and back it financially. So there's no doubt there's an appetite over here for top-level rugby league, for them to have their own team. And, you know, I think the government will get right behind it. As long as they give us some assurance that they're legitimately in the mix, the people over here will jump right on board because no force now. Well, not the form it was before. I mean, there's a real appetite for rugby league and rugby union over here. And there's a hole there that the NRL can fill if they're smart and they act properly and act quickly. You know, I think the team would be a real success over here.
What about the stadium, Rudy? Have you spent much time there? Have you been to, I think, the Eagles played there the other night? What's the surface look like? What's the atmosphere going to be like?
Well, Gerd, I actually brushed a ticket. I had a free ticket and I didn't go.
That's unlike you, Rudy.
Yeah. Okay, well, wasn't it into the corporate area? Was it just down with the normal people?
The corporate area, yeah. Free drinks, free food.
Wow.
But I was feeling a bit under the weather, so I let it go.
So that would have been actually something that would have, you know, meant that you were doing your job, doing a little bit of research on the stadium, and you didn't go because you were too busy, socialising?
No, it was a bit under the weather. I had a quiet night.
Okay.
How was the night before?
You're paid to come on here and actually give us some information about the game that's going to be. So I'm asking a legitimate question about the stadium because the people over here want to know what it's going to be like and you can't answer it because you're hungover. Is that what you're basically saying, Rudy?
I can see it from my window here, the 24 of the Western. It looks pretty impressive. I can see in the distance.
That's a new low for you, Rudy. That is a new low for you.
What about the New South Wales camp? There's talk, obviously, that Freddie, given the masses of changes that the pressure has come on him, how has his demeanour been during this camp?
It's quite funny. I sat down with him on Wednesday, I think, or Tuesday, I sat down with him for about a half hour.
Did you have a quiet night on Monday, did you? You actually did some work on Tuesday. That's good to hear.
Tuesday, I was in terrible shape.
No, I'm glad you got to spend some time with the actual coaches. It's good, mate. Well done. You didn't blow them off as well.
Sorry?
No, you didn't blow them off as well.
I asked about the conditions I was on the Freddie. Freddie basically said, I just find it laughable. Just makes me laugh. I said, you know, are you serious, Freddie? You're being sarcastic. He said, no. I actually find it makes me laugh when I read that sort of stuff because, I mean, he knows his job's not under threat.
Yeah.
Freddie's been a bit upset with some of the media coverage since Origin 1, but he's concerned. I don't think he gets upset about so much criticism of him. I think he got upset about the criticisms of the selection and the forensic analysis of what happened to Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah,
and you know, obviously Freddie sort of put that in the spotlight a bit when he made some comments after Origin 1, but I think he was disappointed in the amount of story it was. I know he was disappointed in the amount of stories that were written about Latrell and the amount of digging that was done to try and get to the bottom of the issue. And you know, I think that was a bit of an eye-opener for him. I don't think he enjoyed that. Well, as I said, I know he didn't because he mentioned it in the interview with me. So, you know, that's one thing I think he struggled to come to grips with in the lead-up to this game, the amount of talk about Latrell, I don't think he's enjoyed that. But otherwise, you know, Freddie's Freddie. He's a pretty relaxed guy at the best of times. And, you know, he may not have been as relaxed this camp, but, you know, he's pretty comfortable. He looks pretty satisfied with how things are going.
Yeah. All right, Rudy, we'll let you go to enjoy the build-up. Enjoy the game tomorrow, buddy.
Back to bed, time.
Okay. There he is, Brent Reed. Of course, you can read him in The Australian and hear him on Triple M, see him on Fox League. He's basically everywhere.
Not too concerned about Ponga's injury, so that might have been news over here. It obviously wasn't over there.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
The Matildas got a huge game tomorrow morning. It's 5 o'clock in the World Cup, the Women's World Cup. Bozza will join us next. There is plenty of great sport on going around, not just the country, but around the world. A couple of World Cups, as we mentioned, Australia doing well in the Cricket World Cup, England getting rolled by Sri Lanka last night, which is always a good moment. Then, of course, in the Women's World Cup, the Matildas will take on Norway tomorrow morning. I think it's 5 a.m., and a man who is always great to guide you through any of these events is the one, the only, Mr. Mark Bosnich. Bozza, g'day.
Good afternoon, Squizzy. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Bozza. How are you, buddy?
Very good. How are you?
Good, brother.
Where will you be tomorrow morning? Are you calling from the studio or what's happening?
No, tomorrow morning I'll be watching it at home with the heating on. And hopefully it will be the right result as well. It's been a topsy-turvy World Cup, it must be said, for all the girls. for all the sides. So there are a couple of ones that have stood out. Obviously, the USA have been absolutely fantastic, and France, the host nation. But I've got a feeling there's going to be some shocks, even going into now to the knockout rounds, coming up to the semi-finals and finals. There'll be some shocks that that no one predicts.
Bozza, it's just Woodsy here, mate. I thought you definitely would have watched it down at Cheese Bar, just down in George Street. But, mate, are we a fair income chance of taking the title at the World Cup or what?
Yeah, look, I don't think we'll win it, but we are a definite chance. I mean, we're number five in the world. So from what I've seen from the evidence so far, I don't think we'll win it. But there's no reason why we can't get go further into the tournament. I mean, Norway, as good as they've played so far, still ranked, I think, something like 11 or 12 in the world. Like I said, we're number five. So there's no reason why we can't go further in the tournament.
Hey, Boz, Gerds, mate. Defence is key, isn't it? Obviously, these guys, the Norway side, you give them an opportunity. They're lethal up front. Is it true that their best player, though, was left at home and she's having some sort of dispute with the team?
Well, she got player of the year. She won the Ballon d'Or, and she didn't get left at home. She refused to play because of all the there was a lot of with the Norwegian. Sorry, excuse me, I'm having some lunch.
Cigar?
What
brand?
No.
You off the cigars?
No, I'm not off the cigars, but I'm having lunch. So
okay.
Can't do two things at once. There was a massive argument between the Norwegian FA and the Norwegian girls. The Norwegian girls actually do get now exactly the amount of pay that the Norwegian men do. But because of all that took its toll, we don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, but she's refused to play. So that's a massive loss for them. But like I said, I've seen them in their group games, and I also spoke to Graham Arnold yesterday, who was over there, who said that they're a very direct side, very athletic side, and it's not going to be easy at all.
You mentioned we could have been facing the host nation, France, but fortunately with that last goal, we are taking on Norway. Now, they've had a kind of a just defence on the run. First game against Italy, defending incredibly high, led to a lot of attacking options for Italy there. It changed a bit on the run, didn't it, for the second game. Where will it be come 5 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Well, I actually think that they need to find the mid-range, pretty much similar to what they did against Jamaica, although it must be said that Jamaica are nowhere near in the league of the opposition that Norway will be. But the thing is with Norway, like I said, they're very big and they're very athletic, so they don't want to be too deep. But we saw, like you said, Squazi, very astutely, against Italy, we were so high every time basically they attacked, it looked as though they were going to run straight through us. So just got to find the mid-range. And the most important thing when you're defending and you're in the last line is that, number one, your body position. You've got to be, you can't be square on, you've got to be side on, much like a proper boxer should be, just nice and side on so you can go forward or back very easily. And number two is the anticipation. If you can see 30 metres away that the guy or the girl has got their head down and about to play a long ball, you should be starting on your bike then rather than waiting for the ball to be played.
What about what side of the draw did we fall in, Boz? So if we go through with this one, how are we looking for the games at the bigger end of town?
Well, if we win this game and England win their game against Cameroon, we'll be playing England in the quarterfinal.
Okay.
On our side, the draw also is France and Brazil. And most importantly, I think, in my opinion, there's the best team that I've seen so far is the USA as well. So we'll have to go through either the host nation in the semi-final or the USA in the semi-final, which right on this moment in time, I can't see us doing.
Yeah, it was 5-3, I think, wasn't it, last time we played them in that friendly against the USA. Sam Kerr, though, four goals the other day. She's just impressive, isn't she?
Yeah, she's one of the few world-class players that we have, and she's a genuine goal scorer. And while you've got a player like that in your team, you've always got a chance. So even though, like I said, our defending hasn't been too crash hot, the fact that we've got her in our side always gives us a chance to win.
What are you eating, Boz?
I'm having souvlaki, would you believe? It's a Greek restaurant that just opened up here down at King Street Wharf. So I'm having souvlaki with chips. How's that?
What are you washing it down with, big fella?
I've got a mocktail. I don't know what's in it, but it tastes very good.
A mocktail? Oh, you on dry July, even though it's June.
Exactly. Hey, Boz, always lovely to talk to you, buddy. See
take
you, boss.
Care, guys.
Enjoy your lunch.
Catch up. There is.
Take care.
There is the great man, Mark Bosnich.
Souvlaki
eating
and chips.
Souvlaki and chips.
Is that a combination? I mean, is that a Greek combination, souvlaki and chips?
I'm not sure. I guess it is. Like, you got to have chips with anything. I'm not sure about souvlaki, Tone.
It's universal.
What are you at your souvlaki with?
Oh, I don't know what I... Well,
like a nice Greek salad?
Depends how much I've got in my GoFundMe. page. Obviously, it's okay. under. If you just go to under Israel Folau's, I'm trying to fund my birthday dinner tonight. So you know, just give generously. It's and I'm in the fight of my life to pay for dinner tonight. So if you could help me, that would be terrific. Just looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard, just to remind you, in the State of Origin last night, the women's State of Origin, New South Wales 14 over Queensland 4. Terrific game of rugby league at beautiful North Sydney Oval in front of more than 10,000 fans. And, of course, all attention now turns to Sunday night in Perth, where State of Origin 2, New South Wales, Queensland will be played. We put it out there to any Queensland players who might be listening. We gave them the number, call in.
Yep.
And who should call in immediately is Jake Trbojevic from
We've got to tell him that he's not playing for Queensland.
No, we just this is what the New South Wales guys are like. They just open themselves up, obviously, because Aaron Woods is there. Jake is just, I say that and he's not there. No. Yeah, he did call it.
We'll rushed you.
Once you said we wanted a Queensland guy on, he hung up.
I love it. We'll speak to Jake Trbojevic very shortly. We will go inside the Queensland camp though. Dobbo will join us, and we'll also speak with Mark Geyer, who, as you mentioned a little earlier, he handed out the jerseys to the New South Wales players. Why don't we have a look at the stock market right here, right now.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up. The Triple M NRL stock market.
All right. Here's one. This is just hot off the presses, Aaron Woods. Shane Flanagan to the Roosters. This is being reported by Channel 7. So are you buying, selling, or holding the idea of Shane Flanagan going to the Roosters?
Shane as the coach or Kyle as the player?
Oh, Kyle, sorry, not Shane Flanagan.
Wow,
oh,
you're starting Kyle some big rumours there, Reedy. Hey,
that's just what Flanagan needs right now.
Kyle, yes, exactly. Kyle Flanagan to the Roosters.
I'm filthy. I don't want to lose him. He's a really good kid. He's come through the grades, and mate, as you've seen earlier in the year, when Sean Johnson was down, he was unreal for us. So what's one that will tick off filthy?
I reckon sell.
Sell. You're not having
sell.
It.
No, I'm not having, a bar of it.
I'm going to have a big chunk of that.
Yeah.
Tony, yeah. Usually when there's a rumour about the Roosters, they find a way to fit people under their cap. And given the fact that, you know, Luke Keary's obviously had some issues so far this year with some knocks, and then Cooper Cronk's going to be moving on at the end of the year, and the form that he's showed so far for the Sharkies, I think he's a... I think that's a buy. I'd have a big chunk of it.
Yeah, a big chunk of that. All right, we'll come back to the stock market because Jake Trbojevic is here with us right now. G'day, mate.
How you going, fellas?
Very, very well, thank you. More importantly, how are you going? How are you feeling 24 hours out?
Yeah, no, feeling all good. Obviously, always a bit nervous for these big games, but I guess it's really exciting. And it's been really good over in Perth. Everyone's really welcoming and they're all really excited for the big event.
Hello, Cobber. How are we?
Good, Cobber. What's happening?
Mate, we had Wado on before. You see, he took your cash in the golf game, mate. You wouldn't be happy with that, would you? The king of friggin' Northern Beaches.
Mate, I was chopping around like usual, mate. That was terrible.
Well, you haven't been practicing the swings throughout the week of camp?
No, I haven't been practicing all, mate. It was a tough old day. Wado hit it beautifully, buddy. He was real good.
Oh, mate, Wado plays once every couple of days down the Shire, mate. He's the king down there. He's a bit like you in the Northern Beaches. So.
Closet golfer. He told us he hadn't played since he's been injured.
Oh, don't fall for that old chestnut.
Yeah, good. Hey, they reckon you walked off the last two. You wouldn't even finish off the 18. Is that true? You stormed
he's
off.
He's carrying on a bit there. He's carrying on a bit there.
That's unlike you, isn't it, Jakey?
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. Finish it off.
Nothing inspires a Game 2 performance like a loss in Game 1, Jakey. How's the preparation been? How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, all good. Obviously, everyone was pretty disappointed with that first game, but we've worked on a few things that we can improve, and it's exciting, you know. Obviously, it's a great test for us. It's a game that we've got to find a way to win, you know. We've got no second chance, so we've all got to come out firing and put our best foot forward tomorrow night, and yeah, really, really, really excited for it.
Tommy comes into the side in some pretty good form over the last couple of weeks for the Eags. How's he feeling about playing in the centres?
Yeah, no, he's obviously really excited. Obviously, it's great to have him. Great to have him back in the team. And I guess he's got a little bit of experience in the centres. He played there for the Kangaroos last year, and then played there for Manly back in 2016. So got a little bit of experience there. I guess a bit of experience for him against great Queensland side. But you've got really good players either side here. So something he's really looking forward to, and he's really excited to be back. Playing State of Origin.
And was there a bit of a video session and look at that part in the second half where Queensland forwards kind of pinned you guys near your own line?
Yeah, I guess we looked at sort of where
where it all went wrong and how we can improve. Like, obviously, the coaches took us through that and something we've been working on all week. And, yeah, just hopefully we can turn around. We've got to find a way to. So all the boys are really pumped, and we've got our captains run the Savo at Optus Stadium. So everyone's really excited for that and sort of getting the last-minute preparation done and then, yeah, be ready to go tomorrow night.
What's the ground feel like?
Oh, I haven't been on it yet. So everyone said it's a bit hard, but I'm excited to see it. It looks like a great stadium from the outside. You can see it from a hotel room, so it's excited to see the stadium. It's a really good venue.
So, Jake, it's been a short preparation, mate, and normally you have the big fella Clem there. Normally you're his babysitter. So who have you had to look after this camp?
I had to look after my brother. He's got no idea with times and that sort of thing. So
your stress levels will be going through the roof.
I've been missing the big fella. He's always good to have around. He's good for a laugh. And
That'd be like the odd couple, wouldn't they? Jake and Clem?
Mate, I'm telling you, Jakey is one of those blokes. Trainer starts at 8:30. He's there at 6:30 in the morning. And if you're... mate, he's a perfectionist, Jake. He's one of the best in the group, and he's the best to have. But having no Clem there, Jesus, it'll be no stress at all for you, Jakey.
No stress at all, mate. When Woods and Clem used to walk in at 8:29s, the 8:30 meetings, I'd be freaking out. For them.
Hey, obviously with Jimmy Maloney back into the side, he'd be like an old boot, coming back on. Obviously big part of last year's series and transitions back into the side, I would imagine, pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, he's jumped straight back in there, and you're sort of really, really leading the boys. A lot of great chat, as you said. He's really, really experienced. So he's been, a lot of chat at training and video sessions, that sort of thing. Putting, sort of demanding what he wants, and it's great to have him back because he's a proven winner. He's done it all in the game. He'll be a great asset for us.
And the coach, he's relaxed as well.
Yeah, he's always relaxed, Freddie. He's he never seems too stressed out. He's always really, really chilled. And it's been good, really good preparation under him. He's got great coaches around him. So hopefully we're ready to go tomorrow night.
All right, mate. Well, we trust that you are, and we really appreciate you giving up some time on the eve of a huge match. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us. See
you, Jake. See you, Cobbo. Good luck, mate.
Go, buddy.
Because Jack Trbojevic so nicely called Have a Chat, and any time we do an interview, of course, we do it thanks to Celebrations helping you celebrate. But it did interrupt this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
And Aaron Woods wasn't buying the idea that Kyle Flanagan would be moving from the Sharkies to the Roosters. But I think, certainly according to reports from Channel 7, that is what's happening. Woodsy's just had a bit of chili in his...
Yeah. His bum's in me. It's killing me.
Tony's mine are mild.
It's true.
Yours is extra hot.
Extra hot. You've gone water. You see, the water isn't going to help. What you need is milk or a yogurt.
That's a myth, Tony. Here. Just a bit of water.
Just a bit of water?
Yeah.
That's
all you need.
Your lips are on fire.
I didn't even know you had lips with that beard, but that's okay. All right. The other movement that has been talked about, and it's so hard to get to the bottom of this story, where the truth lies in Latrell Mitchell, a whole lot of things that are happening with Latrell at the moment, but certainly the notion that he had been offered a huge deal from the Bulldogs. Now, at first on Tuesday, the idea was it was around $11 million, I think, for a 10-year deal. Yeah. If that were the case... Is it a good move from the Bulldogs, $11 million over 10 years to sign Latrell Mitchell? Are you buying that move?
It's a tough one. Probably the last thing Latrell needs at the moment is all this sort of speculation. But from the Bulldogs' perspective, obviously to have a guy like Latrell on your roster would be a massive thing. But I'm just not sure whether it's the first investment that they should be making. So I would sell that one. I think that even though that they want a star, they want to attract other players to their club, I think they need to buy the right sort of people in the right positions to make their team a better team. Latrell will make your team a better team in a sense, but he's not in a key position. And... Are you right, Woodsy?
Oh, mate, it's killing me. Sorry, boys.
Should have explained. It's just a bit of rice with chili in
it. Mate, guys, it wouldn't be hot at all.
I think an investment of that size should be made more around a guy that's in a key position, and I think that's where they're struggling at the moment. Maybe, I think Marshall King's doing a pretty good job there at dummy half, but maybe they've bought Watini Zalesniak. They're going to put him at the one. Kieran's been going pretty well, but whether it be, you know, up front or in one of those key positions, if you're going to outlay that sort of money, you need to bring in a marquee franchise player, and I'd be looking for someone to fill one of those holes.
All right, you with us, big fella?
Yeah, I'm back, I'm back.
Okay, sorry, you've been to the Bulldogs. What do you think would be a good move from them?
Oh, look, no doubt Latrell Mitchell is one of the greatest, good player at the moment. He's going really well. I think the length of the deal, you know, 10-year deal, look at sort of Newcastle. They struck gold, but at the time when they did sign Ponga, people were saying, you know, it's a big thing to put in. And you look now, he's still got 2 years left on his current deal. And the way he's performed over that time, it's been phenomenal. So now they're trying to upgrade him. But then, you know, you look at Tamalolo as well. Mate, he's been playing such consistent footy for a long period of time, and he's still only young. But, you know, he's signed a 10-year deal for $1 million each year. You know, he's been up to that standard every year, you know, and people do sometimes question Mark Latrell. I think he's an absolute superstar. You know, I'm actually shocked that he's not in the Origin. But with the Bulldogs, you know, you don't want to put all your eggs into one basket with a centre. I think you look at your spine, you know, someone that you know, you got Kieran there is on good money, and he's getting back to playing some really good footy. The position that I think probably you need a really decent half there, you know, they've had Jack Cogger, they've had Lachie Lewis, they've been in and out of first grade. So I think if they could probably get a senior person in the half to partner Kieran and take the load off him, I think that would be a great investment for them. So, you know, I'd probably be selling that one.
Okay. And finally, of course, we were talking about State of Origin in Perth. It's a sellout, that stadium. A lot of people will be there. As we said before, there is no Western Reds. There is no Western Force there. If the NRL is to expand, they're talking about Redcliffe and Brisbane being a second Brisbane side. But you buying, selling, or holding, Woodsy, the idea that Perth should be the next club?
I'm holding. I like that one. You know, I got to play there in the new stadium round one last year with the Dogs. And, mate, the town was awesome. They really enjoyed having the four sides, it was a doubleheader. They had the four sides in Perth at one time. And it's a lovely part of the world as well, you know. It's a big part of our country as well. So if we can get more fans over there, it's only really a 4 or 5 hour flight. It's not too far. But, you know, it's a great part of the world. And, mate, the stadium over there was phenomenal. It was so good how it looked and how all the facilities were inside, as in the change room. You're not that far away from the ground where people sit. So, but I think it'd be a great place to expand. You know, obviously, we've got the, you know, couple sides up in Queensland. You know, Redcliffe would be awesome. You know, they've got really good backers behind them. But I think a place like Perth, going somewhere else where there's two AFL sides over there, I think it's a good spot for us to get rugby league into.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I certainly think that we need at some point a team over there. I don't think it's probably expansion. I think it'll be relocation, to be honest, Tone, and that opens up a whole other can of worms. But yep. I think at some point we, you know, whether there's an appetite, you know, we need to feed that appetite. This is showing that there's a big appetite in Perth for the game to grow there, so you've got to take that opportunity at some point.
Aaron Woods, Ryan Gerler, Tony Squires with you on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor with son Tristan on his 21st. Happy birthday, Tristan. Emma Lawrence already in Perth. She actually joins us right here, right now. Emma, g'day.
Hello, guys. How are we?
We're very well. More importantly, how are you travelling? We've already spoken to Reedy. He says you've been best on ground in terms of the evening activities. What's happening?
Absolutely not. I was actually hoping that I would be after Reedy so I could really tell you the truth.
Uh-huh.
Reedy, it was voted last night, got the 3 Dally M points, and most nights as well, and everyone agreed. So definitely Reedy is the one who's been enjoying himself the most.
We heard that. He didn't even bother to go and have a look at the field yet. He's just been recovering.
Really take him away from his duties and why he's actually been paid to go over there. And How's the build-up been over there in Perth? Is the community buying in? Have you seen a lot of sort of jerseys and people walking the streets? Is there a lot of talk about the game?
So the first 4 nights we stayed with the Blues in Scarborough, it was fairly quiet. Not really sort of a lot of chat around or anyone around there, but now that we've moved into the city, there is a bit more, and there was an official NRL lunch yesterday and it was pretty much packed with Queensland jerseys. So. Oh. Yeah, and I think that they've actually done a survey, the Perth, one of the papers over here, and the support, the Perth-based people who have bought tickets, the support is 60-40 in Queensland's favour. So that's not great.
No.
But you can see quite a few jerseys walking around the city, so I think they are embracing it.
Do the Perth people know that Israel Folau's from Queensland? Might throw a few back our way, just based on character.
Exactly. Was that NRL lunch the one that Cam Smith spoke at? I think in Kevy Walters, and Cam said that the Blues are in a whole heap of trouble.
Yeah, they were speaking. Well, basically, Cam, on one instance, he did a press conference first for some of the journalists outside, and he was he actually said, look, I think the Blues have a better team in Game 2 than they did in Game 1. But then once he got up, you know, you got to work to your audience. So yep. Once he got up on stage and he's with Cherry and he's with Kevy and this room full mainly of Queensland jerseys, then he started saying how they're going to give it to the Blues and basically saying Cherry's going to be a lot better and talking up Ponga and all of that. So, yeah, they're very confident, the Queenslanders. Typical. They always are, but extra confident, I think.
It's good to see him talking up Cherry for once, which is a good thing.
I know. It was a little bit awkward. I thought, it was Cam, then Kevy in the middle, and then Cherry on the end. And I did actually think, this is quite awkward because, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm pretty sure, allegedly, he didn't want Cherry involved in the camp, but... Anyway, so how times have changed, eh?
You can't mention that anymore. Hey, I mean, he makes a good point, though. Chair Evans obviously coming off a seven-game rest injury going into Game 1, and we saw that with Josh Maguire as well and also Benny Hunt playing out of position. So, you know, they've got reason to go into this one believing that they're going to perform a lot better than they did in Game 1. The one thing that no one's really talking about, and Woodsy just brought it to my attention a couple of minutes ago, they've got a guy that has done a pretty good job over the last couple of years in Jai Arrow that's not going to be out there, and he's going to leave a big hole.
Yeah, well, I think the Maroons media contingent have been, I guess, trying not to focus on that. They've just been talking up who is there, but Jai Arrow leaves a massive hole. But then you've got someone like Jared Wallace's teammate who comes in, and Kevy this morning was giving Jared Wallace actually a massive rap as well. And Dylan Napa, he actually said, Dylan Napa, I'm expecting to have his best ever game in a Maroons jersey. And a few of the journalists said, well, what about his hand? You know, he's injured at the moment. And he said, oh, please don't be silly. You don't play on your hands. You don't run on your hands. He'll be fine. So Kevy was in fine form and talking up the players who are there. But you're right, Jai Arrow is a massive loss. He's been carrying that Titans team this year, and every game he's played for Queensland has been really solid.
Yeah, Jai Arrow's been outstanding, Emma. But this is a question not related to football.
Mm-hmm.
On your social media, I've seen that Zach is over there as well.
Uh-oh.
And you did go to the footy the other night, what Reedy was saying. You went and watched one of the AFL games.
Yes.
Did he happen to get down?
Romantic,
but did he happen to get down on one knee?
Mm.
Zach did not get down on one knee. Actually, Zach's walking about 8 metres in front of me at the moment. He's carrying my handbag.
Well, you never know what could happen, mate.
Conversation. So he's going to be hearing this, but I can confirm Zach did not get down on one knee at the AFL. But a lot
does it suit him, and the handbag? Does it suit Zach, that handbag that he's carrying around there? Does he look comfortable with it?
Yeah, he looks quite good. It's a grey handbag. He's got navy pants on, so it quite goes with the outfit. And, you know, he's strutting around. So, you know, it does quite suit him. Mm. He's shaking his head. I don't know if he's overly impressed that I'm talking about him.
Of course he's not. And, of course, you have been with the Blues. So we've already spoken to Jake Trbojevic. We've spoken to Wade Graham. They seem nice and relaxed. They've had some hits of golf. Have you noticed that, the vibe in the camp? They seem to be okay?
Yeah, they are so relaxed. It's been actually a lot of fun covering the Blues because they're relaxed at training. Even when you walk around the hotel, we're staying in the same hotel as them, so you walk down to the lobby and at various times there's a group hanging out or some whose partners or family may have flown over, and they're so friendly, always happy to have a chat. And Freddie just has a great policy. I actually think, to be honest, on the Monday and Tuesday, Freddie was a little bit tense. So he was getting hammered, really, about mainly not picking Latrell, and I guess the way that the Roosters in particular found out, because they were that 4 p.m. game on the Sunday. But I think once sort of that passed over, he's been really good. So, yeah, they've been great to deal with, and it's been a really good trip.
Emma, obviously you've been in camp for both the Origins so far. I reckon we've got one of our biggest ins in Jimmy Maloney. Have you noticed a big difference in the way the boys have trained compared to game one to game two?
I actually have, honestly. Jimmy makes such a difference. He is the loudest one at training. Every day he's been the loudest one at training. He's always mucking around. Like, as you would know, Woods, he's always mucking around, always sort of making jokes. He's so much fun to have around. And I actually spoke with Josh Adokar yesterday and he said it's been really good because obviously, you know, defensively that left edge, they did struggle in game one. He said he just talks a lot at training and he just gives you confidence in your decisions, knowing when to stay out, when to come in. So I think we notice it, the media watching every training session, but even, you know, his teammates are picking that up as well. And he's just good to have around. You know, the first day he said he came out to training and said, "Freddie, you forgot my number, did you?" So
that's typical Jimmy.
He goes, "I kept telling you I must have changed my number." So he's he's always happy to answer any questions. He never shies away from anything controversial. So he's really easy to deal with.
And how's Nathan been in camp? Obviously, he had to run the show in game one, whereas now you've got Jimmy who's going to take a lot of the control. That's just the way Jimmy plays. How has Nathan been around at training? Has he, you know, has he looked a lot more relaxed, or does he feel he's got to try to get in there a bit more now that, you know, he wants to prove after game one?
I think he does seem more relaxed, to be honest. And well, you'd expect that just because they play together at Penrith and everyone says Jimmy's the type of person that plays better in those big game situations. And I guess the bigger the game, the better he plays. So no doubt that will take pressure off Nathan, but I think Nathan just seems to be having a lot of fun, and he did do a couple of, I mean, Joey's been in camp, but there were a couple of afternoons where when everyone was finished as well, Joey did a couple of one-on-one sessions just with Nathan and worked on his kicking game a bit, and he just seems to be loving it. It was so good, and New South Wales Rugby League were great. They let everyone get a bit of vision of it, and I spoke to Nathan after that and I said, "This is pretty cool, isn't it?" And he said, "I just can't believe it. I used to grow up just idolising Joey. And now not only is Nathan playing for New South Wales, but he's getting one-on-one sessions with Andrew John." So it's pretty surreal for Nathan. And yeah, he seems to be absolutely loving it. And he has stayed off social media as well. So any sort of chat about pressure on the halves or anything, he hasn't really noticed. So yeah, they seem to be really, really relaxed. There's a really good vibe in the Blues camp. I am biased, but I think they're all in a good headspace at the moment.
Yeah, well, let's hope it transfers onto that field tomorrow night. Emma Lawrence, lovely to chat with you. We'll see you next weekend.
See you guys. See you next week.
Another guy I reckon would be really happy would be Damien Cook. And I know that he was playing with his club teammate, Cody Walker, in that first one. But if you go back to the series last year and any opportunity that he got through the middle of the field, who was pushing up with him? James Maloney, and capitalised. And there was probably four or five times, especially in the first half of that game up in Suncorp the other day. And Origin, again, is another step up in speed. And sometimes, especially in your first game, and you usually adjust on your second or third, but in your first game, and that's why some guys get to play one game and they don't get to play anymore, because they totally miss the speed of the game, and they just can't stay with the state of the way that the game moves around the field. Yeah. It's lightning quick. And Damien Cook, even though he's got that great connection with Cody Walker, when he bursts through there a couple of times in Origin 1, at club level, Cody would have been right next to him then. We've seen them do that all season long. But he wasn't ready for it in game in his first game of Origin. So when Cook bursts through, hopefully tomorrow, you know that James Maloney is going to be. So that makes Cook's job just a little bit. It makes Tedesco's job just a little bit quicker, easier. So he's going to bring so many different things to those key players, just being a presence out there, knowing they can rely on certain parts of James's game. And he's a big game player. I mean, it's an opportunity for him here.
Yep. All right, we'll dig a bit deeper into State of Origin in the next hour. We'll also chat with Mark Guy. As we said, he presented the jerseys to the Blues. Ben Dobbin from the Queensland camp. We'll have a chat with him. And Maddie Studden, of course, the superstar from the Women's State of Origin, that win 14-40 New South Wales over Queensland at North Sydney last night, plus the Pacific Tests. It's all happening in the last hour on Saturday. Triple M, NRL.